माई माइंड वॉज बजिंग दैट पहला क्वेश्चन क्या पूछूं. मैंने सोचा पहले हम झगड़े की बात करते हैं. सो व्हाट इज दिस ब्लो अप व्हिच हैज हैपेंड
टुडे. इंडिया हैज more than 400 million pre-diabetics and diabetics. This year alone, we will spend over $400 billion on healthcare.
5 years mein what damage have we done to ourselves?
You've eaten more. हम लोग कुछ भी खरीदने जाते हैं उसमें एक डील देखते हैं. We are value for money consumers. Now I will show some statistics which blow your listeners' mind.
Speaking of nutrients, because everything that we are trying to do is to fix the quality of food. And which invariably leads to the nutrients that we are putting inside us. You're far away on the whole agri piece, the whole food chain piece, and definitely aware that the future of foods probably is in labs, not in khet khalyan. Okay. What do you believe, how would this turn out from the nutrients perspective for the food that is growing out of labs going forward? Your views on this whole thing.
Right. So let's break this up, right? When you talk nutrient, when it comes to lab grown meat or products, yeah. You are essentially trying to focus on one macronutrient, which is protein.
Right.
Now, protein, unlike carbs and unlike fats, are not single nutrient. Mm. Proteins are made out of 20 different amino acids.
Yeah, this is a complex structure.
More than complex, mm-hmm. Think of amino acids like alphabets.
Right.
Then different words. A protein could have 4 amino acids. A protein could have a combination of 50 amino acids in different combination or so on and so forth. Right. I am not yet very worried about the nutrient profile of it.
Mm.
The reason is, how do you crack this? Let me explain to you. So when you look at, so I attended in the US a lecture by a gentleman called Dan Humbert, mm-hmm. if I get his name right. Dan Humbert has done the most amount of work on the future of lab grown mm-hmm. Substances. And he currently feels that we are at least 10 to 15 years away from even seeing some ray of hope in terms of commercialization. Why? So first thing he says that if you really want to get into a scale which will make a difference from a sustainability point of view, from a nutrient point of view, you have to defy physics and chemistry both. The kind of bio equipment that you need to make for this to work will require that level of innovation. That's the first challenge. So far, nothing. Two, you will have to work on the entire supply chain side of it. Amino acid is not going to come on its own. You will have to have different kinds of biotechnology work happening to create these amino acid profiles at the lab, if I can use the word, right? He feels that for us to even visualize this goal in the next 10 to 15 years, at least 6 or 7 Nobel Prizes will have to be won in this space alone.
Okay.
Okay.
Love.
Then third piece is saying that then you will have to get into what you and I talk is in its palatability, in its taste, in its preference. So it's a great vision. Currently, the execution is far from it. You and I probably seeing it as a reality.
Right.
But where is it where we have seen great reality, where the world has made rapid progress? This is when it comes to plant-based meats. Have you heard of a company called Beyond Meat?
No.
Okay, Beyond Meat is listed in the US, almost $700-800 million of market cap. Still a relatively smaller player in the plant protein side. There is another company which is likely to go public next year called Impossible Meat. You know, the McDonald's has this burger called as Impossible Burger. It's made from impossible meat.
Okay.
It's likely to go public at about $7-10 billion of market cap. So when you look at plant-based proteins, it's a great outcome for humanity.
Okay.
One, it reduces whatever... animal cruelty, whatever you call it, whether it's sustainable, all of that is great. That's where the world has made rapid progress. Third place where I think the world has made rapid progress and you will see even more rapid progress is what I call as indoor agriculture or hydroponics.
Perfect. Superb. That was exactly the topic I had in mind to pick up from you, because hydroponics is easy to execute. It's vertical farming and blah. I've had the fortune of going and visiting some farms myself many, many years ago. It was nascent and stuff. But having you here, I would like to learn from you, does the hydroponic has answer to the food scarcity that we're going to see purely coming from the crisis perspective? Is hydroponics can become that big that it can feed the world?
It can. Easily it can. But I don't see a world going towards a food crisis, to be very honest.
Right.
And I'll tell you why, my data points. I think India can feed the world. Yes, entire world. Hmm. Why? In United States of America today, their yield for every hectare that they farm, they get 8 tons of food products.
Hmm.
In India, this is 1 ton.
Hmm.
We are 1/8. India alone producing 8 times food comparing to US over the next 20, 30, 40 years, I can feed 2 times the population. Hmm. Not a problem. Modi ji will be very happy if I'm getting dollars, right? Second, if you look at the size of the farms in India, in US, the average size of the farm is 180 hectares.
Hmm.
In India, this is 3 hectares. We are 1/6 the size.
Hmm.
The level of technology that we are using, the level of machinery that we are using, I think is pedestrian compared to what the world is using because your sizes are small. If indoor farming is one of your solution, your second solution where the country is progressing very rapidly is contract farming.
Yeah.
For the 100 rupees that you give your vegetable vendor over here, the farmer gets only 29 rupees. Of that 29 rupees, his cost is 19 rupees. The farmer makes only 10. So imagine to make 10 rupees, he's spending 20 rupees because his cost of fertilizers and his cost of labor is almost 19 rupees.
Right.
When I look at the future of food, not just for the world, but India becoming the food supplier to the world, I see all of this changing.
Wow.
And within all of this, I see technology coming in, dollars coming in, research coming in, sustainability coming in. And from my point of view, you will see basic commodity prices not rising, in fact, falling. The question is, and the bigger question is, can we all learn to eat more at home? The moment you go to the value addition drive, I did one Instagram video decoding a packet of potato chips, the Lay's 10 rupee packet that we sold. If you actually see the grammage of potato that they give you, the salt and sugar they give you, and the oil, the entire cost of that is less than 1 rupee 20 paisa.
10 rupees looks expensive now.
No, but yeah, bigger but point I'm saying, 1 rupee 20 paisa is selling at 10 rupees. That much is the value addition. The moment you get into the world of value addition, you are moving into the world of processing and you know, packaged food.
Okay.
So the more you will consume things at its grassroots level, you don't have a problem of food inflation.
Right.
You don't have a problem of food scarcity. The moment you keep upgrading yourself, you will start facing food inflation as an issue and it will begin to hurt you.
Right.
That is where you will have to take a choice whether to buy a new pair of dress or to go out and eat in a restaurant.
Right.
Eating the same food at home is not going to be expensive. So again, different people will face this challenge differently depending on where they move.
Because society has layers, the access to food, like, you know, you need to be rich to be healthy.
Right.
You need to be wealthy to be healthy. Right.
Right.
Similarly, the food crisis, the way we are looking at and how I understand the data that comes out is the food, the land under cultivation itself is coming down. The weather patterns that are changing will change the pattern of crops itself. So, jis season mein rice milta tha, probably us season mein bhi rice nahi milenge. Yeah, wo water won't exist there in those, you know, in terrains. So the point is that there are a lot of dynamics that are happening, which is going to affect and impact the food chain itself, food production. Besides that, the access to good food, hygienic food, or, you know, where palak is grown compared to organic, you know, stuff, is where the crisis is building up. And that
it's
is
the best place to be, to be very frank, Jyoti.
Right.
I love where there are problems because I know somebody will come up with a solution, right? Yeah.
You always you always educated that with crisis comes great opportunity.
Absolutely. And it will be like that, right? The world's biggest problems are the world's biggest opportunity. I didn't say that. Peter Diamandis said that. And I believe that. So today, the fact that we have almost 60% of Indians working in the field of agriculture, where our yields are pathetic, land sizes are smaller, where you are already seeing the first wave of contract farming happening, hydroponics happening, value addition happening, I am super, super bullish about the future of agri tech in this country.
Awesome.
And I believe we will get answers. Not just that we will get answers, but India will be the food solution to the world.
Wow. Superb. This is so wonderful to hear as an endorsement, and feel confident that India also became the dawa for the world during the COVID time.
Absolutely.
And now we are definitely the feeder to the world. I'm very, I must ask this question with regards to, we are educating for good health. That comes from what you consume. As a popular saying goes, what you eat is what you become. Why you think vultures are like that? It hit me that day when I read it somewhere. So the element of food is established for who we become, what we are, and everything else around it. Scarcity of food, dealing with it, all of that is fine. But we are coming to the essence, how what you actually started your dialogue on health was you're a pro-prevention.
True.
Which is free of cost.
Right.
And no one is looking in that space. And the whole thing is about post care and, you know, falling sick. Tell us about how can this mind shift happen with the prevention free of cost, 400 billion spending for not preventing. I think the stakes are too high. What's your key message? And why you think there's hope for this generation?
I'm very bullish on this generation because they are far more intelligent than my generation. They will read through the bullshit very soon. Mm. It may take a little time, but I'm very bullish. But to answer your question, everybody knows prevention is better than cure. It's not something that needs to be educated. It's the belief system is missing. Mm. And I think a lot of that has to do with the why. Mm. I lost my father when I was 7 years old to an ailment of heart. A lot of my bad memories are because I lost my father very early. Mm. And I asked me, what will I do to get my father back in my life? I can't even tell you, right? I had nightmares of me dying early, not being there for my daughter as she was growing up. And, as luck would have it, I lost my brother. He was 35. His daughter was then 2. Now she is 11. And when I look back at that, I am very, very sure I want to live as long as I can for both of them. My why is very powerful. And I believe if your why is strong, you will figure out the how. The problem in today's world I see is the why is very weak. You look at it another way, right? And we were discussing this when I do corporate events. I ask people, how many of you will live for your or die for your kids? It's okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you emotional.
I read this, I heard this yesterday. And I was so moved with this.
So a lot of people ask me about starting of my health journey. So much of it to do with the fact that you want to live for your daughters, right?
Right.
And when I do seminars and I ask people, how many of you will die for your family? Everybody's hand goes up. And then I follow up, how many of you will live for your children? And trust me, it shakes people to the core. Because the moment you tell yourself that I want to live for my kids, next time you are eating that dessert, you will think. When you are smoking, you will think. When you are having that extra alcohol, you will think, right? Because your why is very, very strong. I guess everybody has to figure out their why. All of us will always have, we have this thing in India where we say, yeah, somebody touches your feet, you'll say, jug, jug, jio. Do you know what is one jug? One jug is 4.3 million years. Sometimes when you remember somebody and the person walks in, what do you say? Wow. Are 100 saal jiyega. What does the person say? Hmm. Yeah, don't curse me. 100 saal kisko jeena hai? And that's the time when I get very angry. My blood boils.
Yeah.
He said, ask me, what will I do to have my father for one day? You are getting a blessing that you will live 100 years and you don't want to. You are telling me it's a curse. I almost feel like slapping those people, right?
Right.
But I can't blame them. Mm. They have not seen that. Mm. So they don't know what not having somebody in your life is, right? And I just feel that I think it is each one of our responsibility and duty before we have kids to at least be there for them, right? And I don't want to be there to financially support them. No. Don't get me wrong. My best memories have been with my kids. I want to build more memories with them.
Yeah.
And for that, I need to be active. I don't want to live till 85 in a wheelchair. I am sorry. No. Yeah. I want to run my half marathon at the age of 85 with my daughter and my granddaughter. I want to dance at my granddaughter's sangeet. I am very clear what I want. If that is what I want, there is an input-output theory. Your output is a function of input. I cannot be wanting to run a half marathon at 85 and still I will go and eat a packet of chips, have a cola, have a pizza and then say, But one thing I will add to your question. A lot of us and all of us think health is food. Food is one element of health. After you correct your nutrition, the ROI is zero. Because you've corrected it.
You've corrected it.
For me, the biggest foundational thing that all of us need to do is sleep. If you are not going to sleep well, you will have higher blood glucose. You will be obese. You will have diabetes. You will have dementia. You will die of Alzheimer. Undersleeping increases your chance of cancer by 3x. Heart disease by almost 2.5x. For me, sleep is foundational. And science has a definition of sleep. 8 hours of sleep every night with a fixed wake-up time, waking up without an alarm. Try and do that once a month and see if you are successful. Humans and Indians are the only species that prides in undersleeping. Arre, main kal 2 hi ghanta soya. Koi achha kaam nahi
kiya.
It's like, you know, my son coming and telling me, Dad, yesterday I ran a mile. By sleeping 2 hours, you are your body and you're proud of that.
Right.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Right.
Just think, 3.2 billion years of evolution. Why does Mother Nature make us sleep 1/3 of our life?
There's a reason.
There is not a single biological function that does not get accelerated because of sleep. Then is exercise. Sleep also, once you correct, ROI is zero. Exercise is the most potent drug made on Mother Earth. This is the only protocol which gives you infinite exercise. And when it comes to exercise, you repair the roof when the sun is shining. So to those Gen Zs, forget about nutrition. Get your exercise. Build muscles.
I think that could be a great message.
You reduce 1% muscle mass after the age of 40. But that's not all. You lose muscle strength 3 times faster after 35.
It just decelerate.
You lose muscle power 8 times faster. I'll give you a statistic for your listener that will blow their mind. Especially women listeners. If you have a fall after the age of 65, when you break your femur or your hip, the chances of you dying in the next 12 months is 70%.
Ouch. The single largest reason for death post falling right? In bathrooms and
the
stuff.
The only thing that can prevent you from a fall is muscle. Nothing else. Your grip strength is a predictor of longevity. When you are falling, how will you stop yourself? Either you will hold a railing or try to put your hand. But if there is no strength over here, no power over here, how will you do? At the age of 80, if I want to open a jar of coffee, I need strength and power. So I'm just saying, nutrition is one part of it. There is sleep, there is exercise, there is stress. There are other things to work upon. If you can't get yourself to eat healthy, can you then sleep better? Can you then exercise? Can you then have less stress in life?
It has a cascading dominoes effect, right?
I am okay if you eat your burger and pizza. But yaar, fir ek ghanta to gym chale jao. Muscle to build karo.
Right. Outstanding. So Gravity Bowl has my bhari bharkam questions hai kuch.
Theek hai.
Heavy duty. Please pick up. Let's see what you get.
Is millets a new trend or are we really moving away from rice and wheat? Great question. This is the 2023 was the year of the millets. India is trying to promote a lot. I have only one answer for millets or grains. I only use my continuous glucose monitor to tell me whether it is good for me or not. I'll give you my personal example. Bajra doesn't work for me. I have seen a far higher sugar spike in my body because of my gut microbiome through bajra, then in wheat.
Okay.
Rice absolutely doesn't work for me.
Okay.
Jowar works for me. So I would qualify that by answering it's horses for courses. But whether you choose your rice or your wheat or your jowar or your bajra or your nachni, it cannot be more than 10 to 15% of your plate.
Okay.
What the world is missing is not millets. We are having too much millets. What the world is missing is fiber. Fiber comes from vegetables. Green vegetable, nuts. At least 40% of your plate should be fiber. That is missing in our plate. Good fats are missing.
Right.
We are not having ghee. I have 16 teaspoons of ghee every single day.
Wow.
I start my day with 4 spoons of ghee in my coffee along with MCT oil. Good fats are missing. So for me, millets is a very small needle that will move your health. Pick your poison. Doesn't really matter. Also, one thing which India is not doing, I have written to the Prime Minister himself, is share scientific data about why these millets are better beyond the blood glucose. What nutrients do they have? Let's do some studies which the West does. Then your ability to take millets, not just to the masses in India, but to the world is very, very high.
I think brilliant point. But this is the study which startups are doing to downstream sell their millets product, who have come into the packaging of the whole space. But I think statistics adds authenticity to somebody's claim. And I think we should ask government to provide and endorse it from a statistics point of view. I think one more question for you.
You pick an island.
Okay.
Okay, I think this you've written. I am a busy woman and on the go. I eat a lot of packaged foods, which is certainly not healthy. What kind of packaged foods are still fine?
Actually, the how these questions have come, actually I've sent them my group's few profiles minus the names. And I said, if this is the guess, what question would you ask if you were there in the audience? That's how this has been collected.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So I'll answer this by providing 3 solutions. I just always ask a fundamental question when I talk to anybody. Do you think, are you overnourished or undernourished? Except sub-Saharan African region or very poor people, we are all overnourished. When you look at a standard diet, it always talks about 2200 calories. Yet, how much does average India consume? 3000 calories. So we are all overnourished.
Yeah. Right.
So the answer to this lady is, first, eat less often. That's your first solution. If I'm eating less often, but I still want my 2,000 calories, start your day and end your day with 30 grams of protein. Okay? Here I'm giving you an option of packaged food because you are a working woman, you may not have time to cook, don't have anything. So one, when you're not eating anything in the morning, what are you doing? You're eating less often. Substitute it with one protein shake. One protein shake has 27 grams of protein.
Okay. So if you've now taken care of the morning and the evening, then you can be breezy in between.
So I'm coming to the third part of it, right? So first part, wake up, empty stomach, have your coffee, tea without milk and sugar as much as you want, but absolutely compulsory have 30 grams of protein. It's not expensive. 30 serving protein powder dabba will cost you about 2000 rupees. 2000 rupees divided by 30 is 70 rupees. 70 rupee in the morning, 70 rupee at night, 140 you get your protein. Protein synthesis is best on empty stomach. So you will build muscle mass. You will not bulk up. We don't bulk up, but you will build muscle mass. Again, important. Then for your lunch, eat whatever you want. But the fact that you've had protein, automatically your hunger will come down during your lunch.
Right.
For me, the most critical period for anybody is 4 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
We all begin with a high. Aaj to diet karenge. Main to Amitabh Bachchan hu. And iska bhi curve goes down with your sunset. 4 se 6 baje mein bahut achha kiya to chal aaj ek samosa kha lete. My suggestion to this working woman is, if you can carry a handful of nuts and cheese with you and don't do it every day. 3 days a week, eat your samosa, sandwich, dosa, vada pav, whatever you want. 4 days a week, have your nuts.
Right.
Evening dinner again. before dinner, have your protein shake, eat whatever you want to eat.
Wow.
You don't have to do anything.
I think that's really simplified. Binging simplified. But wonderful. No, that those are great insight. And of course, I would want, there are multiple things that we have to still touch upon. But we will do something on Zero to Dangerous for sure, separately, dedicatedly. I think it's a fantastic insight that should have a life of its own as far as reaching out to the right folks is concerned. What I would like to ask you, and I've asked every guest of mine, by now you know what ether is, we all know, right? Fifth element. What is it that you're leaving behind or removing from ether in 2023, or you removed? And what is it that you will add in 2024?
Great question. What will I remove? Given I have, probably I will want to remove a little more of the stress that I call. And I'm talking about acute stress, not chronic stress, which is good. One thing, my entire 2024 is going to be dedicated to breathing. I have just finished reading a book. So for me, 2023 was all learning about the pathology and biology of cancer. 2022 was dedicated to heart attacks. 2023 was learning everything about cancer. And it's been a biggest learning that I didn't learn anything. Because the world has made very little progress when it comes to cancer. I started reading this book called Breathe by James Nestor, The Lost Art of Breathing. And it has just completely blown my mind in terms of how important breathing is.
Breathing is yeah.
Nose breathing, slow breathing, fast breathing, what it does internally and stuff like that. So I think my entire 2024, I'm going to be adding from an ether point of view is how to breathe better and teach that to Indians. In February, I'm traveling to Ireland for a three-day workshop.
Wow.
On the science of breathing.
Are you going to Dublin?
I'm going to Dublin, yes.
Please talk to me before you go.
I will, for sure.
My son is there. I will send some food to
him. Of course. So I'm going to a smaller city from Dublin called Galloway. Yes.
All right. Lovely. That's fantastic. And thank you so much. It was absolute honor. Absolutely enriching, etheric and enigmatic, as I say, when it comes to superb guidance coming out of an interview. I think there's, of course, for everyone, there is a lot to take away. I think this is one such interview that goes beyond ages. It goes beyond certain pockets of people, or as you call Generation X, Generation Z, millennials and everything. I think it's the common denominator across all generations when it comes to health. Not just health, the future of food itself. And to conclude, my last question is, what is the future of food? It is scary, it is scarce, or it is ample. It's just that we need to be intelligent about our consumptions.
So I always, when it comes to food, it is always paradoxical, right? The future of food, in my view, is very bright and very bleak.
Let's see how these two view coexist. Will it be a yin-yang or something else? I don't know, but this series will definitely be continuing. You were watching Future of Food. Lots coming.